back in his meeting in March. Dan did such a wonderful job of that that I have been hesitant to talk about similar things and really just trying to find where to supplement, add on, etc. So what I plan to do this morning and next week is really just try to remind us, or perhaps also supplement, many of the ideas that Dan presented back in March. If you weren't able to be with us for that, Dan Langford, preacher at the Eastland congregation, was with us in March. And he had a series that focused on growth. And throughout the week, he went to various biblical principles to illustrate both the imperative for, but also the methods of growth. And various ideas that he shared have stuck with me throughout the last few months. But the one, perhaps, that's really just been at the forefront of my mind is that anything that is living grows. God made us for growth. He made us to be able to grow. And what I would like to do this morning is talk about a lesson I've just entitled Increasing in Learning. My question I want to pose is this. What should our attitude toward instruction be? Dan brought this up back in his meeting with us. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, Paul illustrates that the church is edified, built up, i.e. grows through instruction. As instruction is one of the most important methods of growth that we as Christians have, what should our attitude toward it be? So this morning, I am going to be dealing with behavior some, but I'm especially going to be dealing with our attitude that we have toward instruction that leads to growth. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book that I will admit I have just had a difficult time and still have a difficult time studying from and preaching from, because it's not a book that just has a coherent line of thought like much of biblical narrative and poetry and even law books do. It's various great pearls of wisdom that are throughout. So what we're going to do is we'll leave Proverbs for two verses in the New Testament, but other than that, we're going to stay in Proverbs, focusing on a couple of verses that are recorded for us in chapter 9. So as we begin in Proverbs chapter 9, let us talk about what is our attitude toward wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beast. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. So let's get this image together. What Solomon is doing is he is giving this imagery of wisdom as a woman that has prepared this great feast. And she's prepared this great feast in this great table. And she invites us, come feast on it. Come eat and come drink of wisdom, that we may be sustained, that we may be nourished. End of verse 7. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. And he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man. He'll still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. So here's the imagery that then is given. After she has prepared her house, her table, her feast, the food, the wine, she's prepared all of this together. There's some who want to come, and they want to eat, and they want to feast, and they want to drink. But there's others, they're called the scoffers, they have no desire to go to the table. They have no desire to eat of the food that she has prepared, to drink of the wine that she has prepared. They have no desire to be nourished at all. They have no desire to go to her table. There's two attitudes that are given toward wisdom here, and they're summarized quite well in verse 8. The first idea he presents in verse 8, Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Now, this is somewhat ironic to us and perhaps counterintuitive, because what he's saying is there's some people you just shouldn't try to teach. There's some people you should just not try to instruct. The scoffers, do not reprove them, or they'll hate you. But, the second part of verse 8, reprove a wise man, and he will love you. So here's his question. The question that Solomon is urging of his son, whenever you find someone, do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you, but reprove a wise man and he will love you. So again, the scoffers, they have no desire to go to the table. They have no desire to eat. They have no desire to drink. They do not want wisdom. But the wise man, he is the one who craves the food, who craves the nourishment, who wants the instruction, who longs for the instruction. My question for us then is, am I a scoffer or a wise man? Here again, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8, do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you, but reprove a wise man and he will love you. The scoffer does not want instruction, the wise man longs for instruction. Am I a scoffer or a wise man? Well, in the context of the book of Proverbs, what is a scoffer? If you do a word study of scoffer, it's not used very many times in the Bible. 3 times in the New Testament, I believe. But the vast majority of its use comes in the book of Proverbs and a few times in the prophets as well. What's a scoffer? I mean, it's a word that I don't know in my life outside of Bible study if I've ever just used the word scoffer. Perhaps similar concepts. But what is a scoffer? Well, within Proverbs, his command is, do not reprove a scoffer, because a scoffer is wise in his own eyes. This is what is really meant in the context of Proverbs by a scoffer. Let's leave chapter 9. Keep your markers here because we're going to be coming back to it. But let's go back to chapter 1. I want us to look toward the beginning and the end of the book to see what a scoffer is. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? We studied this in our Psalms class a few months ago, but what he's doing here, it's called poetic parallelism. It's a big fancy way of saying he is taking the same idea and repeating it in a few different ways. So here's what he's saying. Scoffers, they're simple because they like their simplicity. Scoffers delight in their scoffing, whatever that really means. But also they're fools. Scoffers are the simple ones who are comfortable in their simple ways, who are comfortable in their ignorance, have no desire for knowledge, have no desire to learn. They're just scoffing at everyone else. Let's go over to chapter 21. This is going to provide a much clearer idea of what a scoffer is. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 24. Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. Now we're getting somewhere. Let me read this again. 21:24. Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. Who then is the scoffer? The scoffer is the prideful, arrogant individual who sees himself as wise, who sees himself as learned, who sees himself as great, but in all actuality, he is a simple, ignorant, foolish man. The way that he sees himself conflicts with how he actually is. He sees himself as wise and learned, when in all actuality, he is a simple man. The book of Romans gives a very similar warning to us. In Romans, in this section of Romans chapter 12, Paul builds what seems to be various proverbs as well. There's proverbial structure to this part of the book. He says in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, Proverbs 12, 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. The same commandment here is given under the new covenant. We should not be haughty. We should not be scoffers. We should not be wise in our own eyes. We should be the wise men. Well, now we know who the scoffer is. The scoffer is the one who hates instruction, who hates learning, who hates growth, because in his own eyes, he is wise and learned and great and awesome, and he's just hunky-dory. Well, how then does this affect his attitude toward instruction? How does it affect his attitude toward learning? Well, we aren't left to wonder this. Going back to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Chapter 15, verse 12. A scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. What then is that scoffer's attitude toward instruction? He refuses it. He doesn't want it because he already knows it all. In our vernacular, we would call a scoffer a know-it-all. And that, I think, perhaps clarifies for us what the Proverbs mean by a scoffer. If I can illustrate it this way, I'm going to use two students as a contrast of these ideas. But I was at Purdue a few years ago now, and I had the honor of teaching a public speaking honors class, and I just had the cream of the crop, some of the brightest students I've ever had the privilege of teaching, my favorite class I've ever been able to teach. And in the class, there was one student who was the textbook definition of a scoffer. We'll call him Josh. There wasn't a Josh in the class. By the way, y'all, anytime I use illustrations, I change names and details so that they would have no clue what I'm talking about. But we'll call him Josh. Well, the first day of class, I had the same assignment every time I taught public speaking. Just get up, a 30-second impromptu, tell me your name, what you're majoring in, where you come from. That's it. That's it. And as he was trying to tell about where he was from and all this, he kind of jumped right up in front of the class. And he started coming past me. And he tried to get his illustrations. He was just trying to, you know, make a great speech. And he was just up there. He thought he was the best thing that had ever been given to him. He struts back to his seat. He just struts back to his seat. He sits down in his chair and he's just kind of, you know, looking around to everybody around him, trying to pat him on the back, tell him how great it was. He was a scoffer. And then throughout the rest of the semester, that was my favorite class I've had, but he was the thorn in the wonderful rose bush that I had. Because he refused instruction. Everything I tried to tell him, he would not listen to. It was maddening. If you were to ever take a speech class with me, which some of you men have done training with me, there are three aspects of speech: COD, content, organization, delivery. Of the three, organization is the most important. Period. Organization is the most important. He, in his mind, thought delivery was the most important. Delivery doesn't matter a hill of beans compared to organization. And I had various organizational patterns that they needed to use to have a good speech. He refused to do it. He refused to do it. It was so simple. Just do this and you'll have a good speech. So when you would listen to his speeches, it was like he would talk about this and talk about that and talk about this and talk about that. And then by the time it was over, I'm like, you've talked about everything but have talked about nothing. It was maddening. Why would he refuse my instruction? Because he was wise in his own eyes. He was haughty. He was arrogant. He was prideful. And because of that, he refused instruction. But fortunately, unfortunately, that is not what God calls us to. God has not called us to be scoffers, to be haughty, to refuse instruction, but God has called us to be wise. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. What here is meant by a wise man? Well, in the context of Proverbs, and I think this applies to other biblical literature as well, a wise man is one who trusts in God, not himself. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. Really, a wise man is one who trusts in God, not himself. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean in your own understanding. Again, note that with me. You may have said it there the first time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be haughty. Do not be arrogant. Trust in the knowledge and the fear of God. Chapter 15, verse 33. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Who is the wise man? The wise man is the humble man. The wise man is the God-fearing man. The wise man is the one who leans not on his own understanding, who leans not on his own arrogance, who leans not on his own pride, who leans not on his own haughtiness, but he leans on and trusts on in the fear and the knowledge and the instruction of God. That's the wise man. Brethren, we must be humble in knowledge. We must be lowly in spirit. We must know how much we don't know. The paradox is, the wise man is not the one who boasts about how much he knows. The wise man is the man who understands how much he does not know. I'm going to use another student now. In that same class, I had a student, we'll call her Sarah. One of my favorite students I ever had. First day of class, she aced her project. She had an attention getter, she had a thesis statement, she had a main point one, a main point two that contrasted with it, a conclusion that brought it all together. I gave them no instruction before the class began. And it was textbook exemplar of what a student should be. It was amazing. And after class, I asked her to stay back so I could talk to her. Come to find out, she had done speech in high school competitively and was very skilled in it. But every class, her pen was out, pencil rather, was out taking notes as vehemently as anyone in the class. She soaked in every word I had to say because she knew how much she needed to grow as a speaker. She saw that, in all honesty, compared to my knowledge of speech, I was far more learned. I was the instructor, she was the student. She was not wise in her own eyes. She was not arrogant, but she was humble. And because of that, she longed for my instruction. She wanted to grow. She wanted to learn. Who is the wise man? The one who sees himself as wise, or the one who sees his own limitations and then seeks to learn? In the case of my student, the one who succeeded and the one who ultimately got an A in the class and did very well, it was Sarah. Because she did not lean on her own understanding, but she was humble. We need to recognize this principle, brethren. Let's go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James here gives a statement that each of us needs to take careful heed to. James chapter 3, verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. And if he does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. Again, we all stumble in many ways. Each of us stumbles in many ways. Each of us have failures. Each of us have lackings. Each of us have areas in which we stumble and we need to grow. The wise man does not see his stumbling. He does not see his errors. He does not see the scoffer. The scoffer does not see his stumbling. He does not see his limitations. He does not see his errors. He only focuses on his own greatness. The wise man is the one who knows, I stumble. I fall. I am limited. And for that, I need instruction. I need growth. Again, the scoffer doesn't think he stumbles because he knows everything. The wise man knows he has limitations and areas to grow. And because of that, he sees his stumbling and he seeks to grow. Brethren, let me ask you this. In your walk with God, what are the ways in which you stumble? This is a very personal question. What are the ways in which you stumble in your walk with God? Each of us stumble. First John, if we say we have no sin, we lie and deceive ourselves. Each of us stumble. I stumble. We all stumble. Each of us has limitations. Each of us has room to grow. Each of us has need of wisdom, has need of knowledge. What are the areas in which I stumble? The areas in which I need growth. The areas in which I need wisdom. The areas in which I need instruction. It is only whenever I see myself from that perspective and I truly develop a self-image based on that question that I then become the wise man. Am I wise or am I a scoffer? Well, how then does the wise man relate to instruction? How does the wise man relate to knowledge? Well, you perhaps already deduced this, but he listens. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. What will a wise man do? He will listen. He longs to learn. He longs to grow. He longs to develop, because he knows he needs wisdom and instruction. Jeff connected this verse in the Acts class for us a few weeks ago to Apollos in Acts 18, 24 to 28. Do you remember the story of Apollos in Acts 18? Apollos was one who was learned in the Old Testament scriptures, but did not fully understand the difference between the baptism of John and the baptism of Christ. It doesn't seem he heard of the latter. And because of this, two tent makers teach a scholar about baptism. Again, two craftsmen, two tent makers teach a scholar about baptism. How did he respond? He was a scholar. He said, "Your tent makers, you know nothing, and I'm smarter than you are, so you can go away." No! He listened! He listened to their instruction. He listened to their teaching. He listened to what they had to say, and he grew from that and became one of the greatest encouragements that the Church of Corinth had ever seen. He was a wise man. Brethren, we must long for instruction. We must long for wisdom. If we have deceived ourselves, know it all. We have deceived ourselves into thinking we cannot be wisdom. If we deceive ourselves into thinking we need no further instruction, we have ultimately. I may have told some of you in the home saying this quote before, but one of my master professors told me something that just stuck with me so long. When you get your bachelor's, you think you know that. When you get your master's, you know you know that. When you get your doctorate, you know that. No one knows. In that case, so often we're scoffers. We take just a little bit of knowledge and we think we know it all. We take just a little bit of learning and we think that we know everything about God and everything about the Bible and everything about this minimal wisdom that we have to know in the heavenly spaces. Brethren, we need to be humble. How are we to understand the infinite plans of our God? How are we to understand the infinite nature of our God? Our God is incomprehensible in so many manners. His plan is incomprehensible in so many ways. And we need to understand that the world is not
long as we have life, we will be earning, we will be growing, because we are the wise men who know our limitations and seek that instruction.
Go with me over to one more verse in Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. All he does is he listens. My path, all very wise man's open. If I'm talking, I know what I think. If I'm listening, I know what I think and I know what you think. A wise man listens. He knows what he needs to learn. He knows how much he has to learn. It always amuses me, and I'm just going to use this as a brief illustration. Whenever I explain my dissertation, talking to somebody, I said, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the word of knowledge. Again, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the word of knowledge. Brethren, we always need to be learning. We always need to be growing. We always need to be instructed, because that's what a wise man does. Some of you knew Dr. Paul Roberts. How to go to college. Dr. Roberts died in the 60s. The day he died, he was having books delivered from Amazon so that he could learn. A man whose knowledge of the Bible surpasses what I will even begin to comprehend. He was had cancer, was dying, and was still having books delivered the day he died to learn. He applied his heart instruction. Brethren, I don't care if you are 9 or if you're 99. We need more instruction. We need more wisdom. I will admit a bit of disappointment. I have been disappointed with the attitude that some of you have had toward our Sunday living class. This is just one example. Whenever I said that we were going to study Leviticus, many of you gave me somewhat sarcastic comments about, well, I've never studied this for 50 years, so I don't. You're a scoffer. The wise man wants to learn. The wise man wants instruction. The wise man wants to grow. Do we long for it? Do we know we need it? Or are we righteous in our own eyes? What we're going to do next week, before you put your Bibles in, is we're going to talk about the practical implications of instruction. The outcome of instruction is not just factual knowledge, and it's not just brain space. There are practical implications of instruction that we need to understand. And we should have a desire to learn, because our behavior and our lives are not yet perfectly in accordance with the will of God, and we need that instruction and that wisdom to make us grow. So let's answer our question. What should be our attitude toward instruction? What's your attitude be? Well, we need to be humble. We need to seek God's wisdom rather than our own. That's the wise man. That's the attitude that each of us need. Get at yourself.
Everything takes a new thing. Everything that pain is consequences as we live. Every soul on the earth has needed to know. Each of us. So long as we think we know, so long as we act in the world, so long as we live, we know. While God is the strength of some of you, the sermon has been encouraged to keep learning, to keep growing, to never stop. All of you strong boys and strong boys. For others, you have to get us back in. Maybe you have to be more instructive and have to keep it following. I'm going to be a God that has to be a God. The greatest instructor that has ever been on the planet, ever been, came from the mountains. Die so that we may die, so that we may grow, so that we may live. That's the beautiful story of Jesus.